In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
What does God promise to give Israel and the Jewish people in the future? Well, good morning. Welcome to the Word for Life broadcast, broadcasting from beautiful Brookside Baptist Church on Pilgrim Road in Brookfield, Wisconsin. We would just love to have you come and visit with us on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, a Wednesday, or some of our other many activities we have here at Brookside. And we would just love to have you come and visit and maybe be a part of our fellowship right here at Brookside Baptist Church. Well, my name's Richard Schmidt. I'm filling in the several broadcasts. My home church is indeed Brookside Baptist Church, and I also run what's called Prophecy Focus Ministries. It's a ministry that reaches out to churches, conferences, seminars around the country, and even a few internationally. And if you're interested in looking at what we're doing as a ministry and also potentially having us come to your church or seminar, which we'd love to do, you can look that all up at www.prophecyfocusministries.com. Well, over the last couple of broadcasts, we've been looking at some of the promises that God specifically made to the Jewish people regarding promises to them and specifically the land of Israel itself. And this morning we're going to look at the third covenant that God made with the Jewish people. So first of all, we've looked at the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 7. Then last time we looked at the land covenant. In other words, God made it very specific that he would give a specific piece of land of Israel to the Jewish people. Now, quite frankly, that land is much larger than the Jewish people currently have today or since they got it in 1948. So there is going to be a difference in the amount of land that the Jewish people will have according to the promises of God. Now, let me make this statement. In the Bible, there's approximately 1,000 specific prophecies. To date, approximately 500 of those, or 50% of the prophecies, have come true. In fact, over 300 of those prophecies came true specifically at the first advent of Jesus, or the first time he came to earth in his ministry, death, burial, and resurrection. Things that were prophesied in the Old Testament, they came to pass exactly as prophesied when Jesus was here on this earth. So I'm unequivocally stating that the prophecies regarding Israel and the Jewish people will indeed come true, just exactly as that first set of prophecies came true. Now, why is all this important? Well, if you've been watching maybe some of the political debates recently, or watch some of the issues of contention, if you will, between Israel and America, it ought to bring a little bit of question to our mind as to why does that tension exist? Why is there this problem? Well, quite frankly, every single one of us as Christians should be concerned about the land of Israel and our Jewish friends. And the covenant that we're going to look at today, which is called the Davidic covenant, which is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 to 16, will give us a little more ammunition as to why we as Christians, and quite frankly, our country, should be concerned about Israel and our Jewish friends. So let me just give some of the highlights of this covenant and what God has promised to the people of Israel, not to Christians. Christians exist today, and they'll be removed from this earth before these events take place, and we'll get to that in just a few moments. But let's take a look at what God has specifically promised to give to the Jewish people. And he says this, God is speaking to David and says, "And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover," God tells David, "I will appoint a place," catch this now, "for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Just a couple more verses to point out a couple more key things. Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. Verse 12 of 2 Samuel 7. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, this is a very specific covenant that God gave to David, a Jewish person, and to the, as he stated very specifically, his people, Israel. Now, there's contention that exists even among different theologians that are Christians that say, well, you know what, we think that God didn't really mean what he said here, the scriptures don't really mean what they say, and that Israel no longer exists, and the Jews no longer exist, and since Jesus Christ came to earth, all of those promises which were made to Israel have been transferred to the Christians. That could not be further from biblical truth. I will say it one more time. That could not be further from biblical truth. You say, how can you say that when you know that that division exists? Well, here's how. There's two different ways to interpret Scripture. One is to interpret the Scripture literally, to take it at its word, to look at it, to read it, and if God said it, he wasn't allegorizing it, he wasn't spiritualizing it, but he stated the literal facts as they have, are, and will exist. In order to take the promises that were made to the Jewish people and to Israel, here's what has to take place. The literal interpretation has to be totally disregarded. In other words, the theologian will say, well, you know, I believe that it doesn't really mean what it says, but here's what I think it means, and they spiritualize or allegorize the text. Well, of course, that's a very, very poor way of interpreting Scripture. So a big fancy word, which means interpreting Scripture, and of course every Bible college student learns these, every pastor learns these, every Bible teacher should learn these, that proper hermeneutics or the proper interpretation of the Bible needs a historical, contextual, grammatical, and literal interpretation. So when God said to David, I'm giving these promises to my people Israel, he did not say, well, I think I mean Israel. I'm speculating I may mean Israel. No, God said Israel. If we followed the interpretation as God specifically said it, the literal interpretation, these divisions would go away and we could move on down and understand the importance of supporting our Jewish friends and the nation of Israel. Well, let's see what God has done so far with that Davidic covenant. A couple of those things that he promised to David were fulfilled, i.e., he said he would make David's name great. That's occurred. In fact, here we are several thousand years later, and we still understand the greatness of King David. He also said he would make a place for the Jewish people. He laid out the land boundaries. Now, again, at the time, those boundaries were known. They had the land of Israel, but subsequently that was taken away. So that, again, has not been fulfilled yet, but it shall be. Now, here's things that will be fulfilled in that covenant that God made with David or Israel or the Jewish people. First of all, he said the building of a house, referring to the Jewish temple. Now, one thing we know, that right after David died, his son Solomon built the first temple. That temple lasted from 960 BC until 586 BC, when the Babylonians tore it down. Not time to go into all of the reasons why, but that temple was destroyed, the first temple, quite frankly, based on Israel's disobedience. Then God allowed the Jewish people to return from Babylon and build a second temple. That second temple was built in 515 BC in Jerusalem, but in 70 AD, Titus, the general of Rome, came in and destroyed that second temple, as prophesied by Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 2, when he said that that second temple would be destroyed. He prophesied it in 33 AD. Just a few years later, in 70 AD, that's exactly what happened. That temple was destroyed, the walls were broken down, and Israel was dispersed literally across the world. The Jewish people literally across the world. Now, here's what God said he will do in the future. Absolute promises that he will fulfill. And he made it very clear that that kingdom, that temple will last, and he makes the word, forever. So wait a second, if the temple doesn't exist in Israel today, which it does not, in fact, if you've been on a tour to Israel and you've been there, you'll find there's two buildings currently on the Temple Mount where those two temples used to exist. The beautiful Dome of the Rock, which is a shrine commemorating, at least from the Muslims' point of view, the resurrection of Muhammad. Of course, as Christians, we don't believe in the resurrection of Muhammad, but of course the Muslim people do, and they believe that that's the spot where it took place from, and that's why they built that beautiful gold dome building. Then just a few yards from it exists the Al-Aqsa Mosque, where many Muslim people come to worship their God, if you will, on Fridays. So those buildings exist. But wait a minute. God said he was going to give them a temple, a building that will last forever. When's that going to take place? Well, it hasn't taken place yet. And the church or the Christians certainly haven't built a temple there. But God promised he would build them a temple, that he would bring the Jewish people back to their land, that they would inhabit the land of Israel in its specific boundaries as he outlined in Scripture. Well, when is that going to take place? Well, as we've said a few times now, the Lord makes it very, very clear exactly when that is going to take place. First of all, we have to understand God's specific prophetic calendar. What is God's next major event on his prophetic calendar? Well, if we went to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, or 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 54, we'll find out exactly what that next event is. It's known as the rapture of the church or the removal of the church age saints. In other words, those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, those of us who have realized that we're sinners, that we're condemned because of our sin, Romans 6:23, that we're all deserving of hell, that if we indeed trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, John 3:16, and ask him to come into our hearts to forgive us for our sin, repent of our sin, and seek to live for the Lord, that those people will be raptured is the next major event. Those dead and alive for the last 2,000 years that have trusted Christ will be bodily resurrected. Then God tells us about a 7-year tribulation period. Then Jesus will return. And then after that 7-year tribulation period, and only after that period, will these promises be fulfilled. Ladies and gentlemen, God does not hold back on his promises. Israel is real. They will completely and totally inhabit their land once again. The Jewish people back in the covenant that we went through in the Abrahamic covenant, God said, I will bless those who bless you, Israel, and I will curse those who curse you, Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you treating our Jewish friends today? And most importantly, what will you do with Jesus today?
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.